do everything. Okay, now this is, as it says, part three, and in the first part, we went through some of Paul's writings and showed how it appears as though he says certain things about the law not being necessary, and we're just saved by grace and so forth, but that's not what he says. We established a foundation from Jesus Christ's own writings when he was summing up the teachings that he taught and the things that he did. And he says, the things relating to me that I talked about are the words which I spoke, which are written in the law of Moses. And so Jesus, the words that he spoke were words from the law of Moses, those first five books of the Bible. And he says, and in the prophets and in the Psalms, basically summing up the partitions of the Old Testament. And so Jesus himself spoke those things which are written in there, and they pointed us to Christ and to God's plan. And the Bible builds upon itself. Paul didn't come in and destroy the Old Testament or do away with the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. He built upon the Bible. Then the New Testament was written, and it begins with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we went into some of that last time. And then we went into Acts and showed how throughout Acts, what the apostles themselves were doing, what Paul himself was doing, was preaching out of the law and the prophets, and preaching none other than those things which were there. And he showed by the things he said that he had not tried to do away with the law, but was in trouble because he preached the Word of God. And then we can go in order, kind of like to explain Paul's writings, if you go into the general epistles, which again give some very basic statements about the Word of God, that foundation, which then you could read Paul's writings and say, okay, now I know what he's not saying. And then you can work around to figure out what he is saying. And then Paul's epistles and the book of Revelation. We're going to talk right now about the general epistles. That's James, Peter, John, and Jude. And we'll go into some of the things that they said. And again, these were, for the most part, written after Paul's writings. And now you take Paul's writings and the presumption that some people make that he's saying, well, the law isn't necessary. Well, then here come the apostles after that, and they're not contradicting, because Peter himself said, there are a lot of things in there that are difficult to understand, and people twist. And we'll see what Paul was actually saying by what some of these apostles wrote. They actually complement Paul's writings. They do not contradict. They're not trying to say, Paul said this, but we say this. And we all agree what Jesus Christ said. We all agree what the Old Testament says and what God's will is. They end up correcting misunderstandings. And because people were taking Paul's writings and taking them out of Scripture, they were correcting people who had misunderstandings about what he said. Not correcting Paul, but correcting people's misinterpretations of what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, faith, hope, and charity, these three, the greatest of these is love, charity. We look at the general epistles, and James shows the need for faith, and when he's talking about faith, he shows what kind of faith is necessary. People had again taken Paul's writings, say, just believe in Jesus, as people say today. Well, believe in the Lord. Believe in Jesus. You come forth, give your heart to the Lord, and believe, and that's all you need to do. Now, James is talking about faith, but he says, what kind of faith is necessary for salvation? James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. I'm going to look at James chapter 1. Verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So you can't just believe. He said, you got to be a doer. Or if any be a hearer of the word, he's not a doer, and he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself, goes away, and then forgets what manner of man he was. But verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one is blessed in what he does. Now people will say, well, Paul says we are free from the law. Now we are free, but we're not free from obedience to the law. What is the perfect law of liberty? When he says that he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and isn't a forgetful hearer, but a doer, is one who would be blessed. What is the perfect law of liberty? Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Talk about the perfect law. Well, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's not man's law. It's not man's interpretation of the law. God's law is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm chapter 119, verse 44, he says, so I shall keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty because I seek your precepts. Walking in the law sets you free. We had Defending the Faith last week and talking a little bit about that, that if you are driving down 101 and you're driving 65 miles an hour, you are not going to get stopped unless you're violating some other law by the police. You do 110, then you're going to come under the penalty of the law. And if you're doing 110 and you get thrown in jail, then you are not free because you've broken the law. The law of liberty is the one that says, you follow this, and then you will be free. It gives you freedom. You're free to drive all over this nation as long as you keep the laws. And with God's law of liberty, if you keep those laws, it sets you free from penalties of the law. And David, and I always come back to David, that here he is, he says, I will keep your law continually forever and ever. You know, and David was a man after God's own heart, and just thinking logically about it, if David was a man after God's own heart, and God says that in the New Testament, and David was under a misconception, if that's what it was, that the law would be kept forever, it's like, well, David of all people should have understood, oh, it was just until Jesus, when Jesus would take away the law. No, David said, I'm going to keep your law forever and ever, and I will be free as a result. The New International Version says, I'll walk about in freedom, because I have sought out your precepts. Like I said, we can drive all over the country in freedom if we keep the laws of the road. Psalm 119, verses 44 to 46. I like this New Living Bible is a paraphrase, but it puts it very well. He says, therefore, I will keep on obeying you forever and ever. And David knew he would be resurrected. And when he was resurrected, he would be keeping God's law forever and ever, free within the limits of your laws. And then it says, I will speak to kings about their value, and they will listen with interest and respect. And David knew he would be resurrected, and he would be speaking to kings as a ruler in the world tomorrow, and they wouldn't scoff at him and say, you idiot, Jesus did away with the law. No, he said, they will listen to me with interest and respect, because God's law will be carried on into his family forever. So James confirms the foundation that was laid in the scripture. James chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, so speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. If you've been keeping it, you'll be free. Don't, you'll be judged and found wanting. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can faith alone save him? You can't just believe. You have to do what God says to do. And then God will have grace to you. James chapter 2 and verse 20. But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Say you have faith, you don't do something with it. Just forget it. Peter comes along, and again, Peter in part is correcting some of the misunderstandings. This was kind of the first scripture that we put in this series. In talking about Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, he says, "Untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction," as they do the rest of the scriptures. He says, take Paul's writings and try to make it say something it doesn't. He says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand," that people are going to take things out of context, what Paul's saying, "beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." And that word wicked means the lawless. There'll be lawless people coming saying, "We don't need the law." Verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And so some of the things that Peter was writing was in response to these people that had twisted Paul's writings. Faith, hope, and love, these three. Well, Peter writes about the need for hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, he introduces, go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied." And what he talked about was obedience and the blood of Christ. Now, Paul emphasized the blood of Christ. The fact, as we talked about last time, that the Jews thought that because they were of Abraham, they had salvation. Came along and said, "No, there's no other name under heaven whereby one can be saved but under Jesus Christ and His blood. You didn't earn salvation through your works of the law. You didn't earn salvation because of your father Abraham. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ." And so Paul emphasized that because they were going overboard in the obedience area, if you will, because they thought they were so good at keeping the commandments. So he says, you've got obedience and the blood of Christ, grace and works. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, "Hope fully on the grace and the revelation of Jesus Christ." You're not going to be in the kingdom unless you are given grace by God through His sacrifice. And then he says, "as obedient children." So it's that sacrifice of Christ that gives you grace and access to the kingdom, but you have to be obedient children. Faith without works is dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "purifying your souls in obeying the truth." So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is applied to you because you're willing to obey the truth and to follow Him. Peter again reminded them of the basics. In the previous two sermons, we talked a lot about the basics, the foundation. Paul even talked about in Hebrews, is getting back to the basics, the milk of the Word. I like these graphics. You got the old man in his striped shirt reading the Bible there, and you got the little guy reading his Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." Again, get back to the basics. The things that were there from the beginning. He specifically references to that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Peter 2:19, it says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought under bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in it and overcome. The latter end of them is worse than the beginning." And then verse 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and to have known it and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. So there are people that had the truth, that had the holy commandment, and then turned from the holy commandment. And he's saying, you know what that's like? If you've got the commandments, if you've got the truth, you've got that basic foundation that's given in the law of Moses. And he says, it's happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog has returned to its vomit again, the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. So here's an analogy he uses. He says, if you turn from the commandment, you're not pleasing God. You're not putting God first. You're turning back to filth if you turn from the holy commandment delivered to you. The New Living Translation puts it this way in verse 21, it'd be better if they had never known the right way to live than to know it and then reject the commandments that were given to them. The commandments are the right way to live. And he's saying they're rejecting the right way to live. They're holy. They give us love God and love neighbor. They tell you how to live a righteous life. Don't turn from it. You're a pig going back into the wallow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, again with the basic, he said, I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Again, those basics, the things that were written before, and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Let's go back to those basics. Don't get off track into philosophies and Gnosticism and Greek thought and Jewish thought that takes you away from God's way. And then John comes along, and John emphasizes love. Faith, hope, and charity, these three. And the greatest of these is love. So here comes John, and he's saying, well, we need love. And people say, well, Jesus came, and he nailed the commandments to the cross, and says, love God and love neighbor. You know, that's all we need to do, is love God. Well, John, because they had gotten off, and they weren't understanding what love is, gives the correction. Again, misinterpretations of Paul's writings had overthrown the faith of many people. And he addresses love, he addresses sin, and he addresses law. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he who says, I know him and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar. You cannot get plainer than that. And the person that says, oh, Jesus came to do away with the commandments, he's just a liar, according to the book of the Bible. Well, God calls it as it is. You don't have to go around calling people liars. It's probably not going to help you much. But just let them read the book, and if they want to read it, they can. They don't. They're responsible to God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, those who sin are opposed to the law of God, for all sin opposes the law of God. You sin, you're opposing the law of God. So keep the commandments, and you will show true love for God. Again, John gets back and reminds them of the basics. 2 John chapter 1, verse 5 said, we should love one another. This is not a new commandment. Again, there are those that have come along and says, love the Lord. Love the Lord today. Well, he said, that's not new, he said, but it's one we had from the beginning. From the very beginning, it was given, and the law, its intent, as we discussed previously, the intent was living God's way of life. The intent was showing God's love toward mankind and how we should love one another. And so it's not some new commandment that does away with the commandments. It simply shows what the intent of the commandments was to begin with. To show love toward one another. Now the Jews had taken this and they thought, well, I'm pretty righteous because we're keeping the law. We don't care much for people. and they'll all be condemned. We want this person stoned, but we keep the law. We don't want this person healed, because it's a Sabbath. And so we'll condemn Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. But they didn't understand the intent of the law, to love one another. And so he's saying, but this is what God intended from the very beginning. Let's get back to the basics. Verse 6, love means doing what God has commanded us. He's commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. The problem is you didn't have it in your law, in your heart and in your mind, and you weren't keeping it that way. You're keeping it for your own righteousness. You're keeping it for your own glory, instead of the way that I intended for it to be. So John defines love by the commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3, he said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. It's a law of liberty. It sets us free when we love one another the way we should, when we love God the way we should. His commandments aren't a burden. 2 John 1, verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. We'll get back to the very foundation of things. And then Jude concludes with a big warning, because so much had been going on, so many people had gone astray from the truth, they had left the faith once delivered. Gnosticism again was creeping in, and people were getting into Greek philosophy and all kinds of things that took them away from God's basic laws of love towards one another. And so he gives a warning. He says, get back to the basics. Jude 3. He says, defend the truth of the good news. God gave his unchanging truth once for all time to his holy people. And people start creeping in and changing things. One of the things I'm going to bring out in the Kingdom of God seminar is Time magazine article called Heaven Can Wait. It gave man's ideas of what awaits us in the afterlife. And this article went on to say, one guy was saying, you know, the apostles there, right after Christ had died, so they had an idea of what the kingdom was, and he basically described accurately what the kingdom was. And he said, and then Christ didn't return, and then through time, people have all kinds of ideas about what heaven is. And then all these Greek philosophies in, and paganism came in, and so religion today has a totally different view than the original apostles had. Because they got away from it. Well, God's truth is unchanging once for all time, and as people began coming in and perverting it and bringing in paganism and false doctrine, and then he had to say, get back to the basics. It's not that difficult. Jude 3, he said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. It's not a moldable thing that over time you've got to change it to fit what you want. But it was just really interesting about the concept of heaven. Well, people's concept of heaven today is totally different than what Christ told the apostles and what the apostles taught, what the Bible teaches. Contend for the faith that was once delivered. Get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Jude verse 20. Continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith. Yeah, that basic foundation. So let's get back to the basics. And then Paul comes along and writes his epistles. And again, in doctrine development, they're next. But if you put Paul's writings, then you see that the general epistles further show what Paul was saying. And Paul builds on the foundation. Paul doesn't start something new. He doesn't tear away the foundation we've been talking about and say, no, Christ came to do away with law. Take away that foundation. And of course, Revelation comes after that. Revelation shows us what Christ wants of us and what he plans for us. And again, what we're talking about today, it's for us to see the things that are coming to pass, turn to God, to repent, and turn to him. How? What do we do? Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 12:17 says, her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So John here is wrapping things up, and he says, in the end, at the time of Christ's return, they're going to be the people who are keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not just law keeping. It's not just saying, I believe in Jesus. It is doing both as the package that show that we are truly God's people. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the patience of the saints and those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Law and grace. They work together beautifully. Hand in glove. Revelation 22, verse 12, he says, my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. In verse 14, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. So John wraps it up and says, okay, any questions? This is the truth. This is the way it was from the beginning. This is what is going to enable a person to have salvation. So with this solid foundation, we can look, and I'm just going to go through this very quickly. We're not going to go into all of Paul's writings today. We'll just look at a couple of things in Paul's epistles. Again, as I said earlier, the problem in, for the most part, with what Paul was dealing with is that the Jews taught they were saved by being born of Abraham, by keeping the moral, ritual, traditional laws. I'm circumcised, so I got it made in the kingdom of God, so I'm doing these things, and that is going to get me salvation. Besides, we're of our father Abraham. And people thought they could earn salvation. And so Paul came in, and he's trying to counteract that, because it's, you cannot earn your salvation. You can't, by being perfect in keeping the law, qualified, so God has to give it to you. So this is what Paul emphasized. He emphasized that faith comes only by grace through Christ. It's true. And that keeping the law is necessary, but keeping the law doesn't earn salvation. He showed the difference between the moral and the spiritual law, the one how to love God, how to love man, and the ritual and traditional laws, circumcision, the sacrifices and those things that pointed us to Christ. Circumcision of the heart, as the Bible says. The Old Testament talks of circumcision of the heart. That was the intent of that. And he explains some of that. So his view of law and grace, Romans 2:13, he says, not the hearers of the law are justified in the sight of God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So he's very plain that the law is quite important. You got to do what God says to do. You can't just hear about it. Romans 3 and verse 20. He says, no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what his law commands. Now he says you got to be a doer of the law, but by doing what he commands, you're not going to earn your salvation. It's not a contradiction. Again, blends. In Romans 3:31, he says, if we emphasize faith, does this mean we can forget about the law? He said, don't be stupid. Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. You're going to keep God's commandments no matter what. You're going to trust God and fear God rather than man. Man says do this, and God says do that. Do what God says. It takes faith to keep the law. Romans 5:21, he says, grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His sacrifice enables us to be given grace so that we can become a part of God's kingdom. And then Romans 6:1 says, what should we say then? Because we do have grace through the sacrifice of Christ, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He says again, don't be stupid. He says, certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? You've committed yourself to obedience to God. Go that way. Have it in your heart. Have it in your mind. Make it your way of life. You're not going back to those things that you came out of. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What should we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Come on, guys. Romans 7:12. The law is holy. And the commandment is holy. And it's just. And it's good. How can something as holy, just, and good be done away with? You can't do away with holy. God is holy. It's like doing away with God. You can't do away with God. It's holy, just, and good. It came from Him. It defines Him. Romans 7:22, He says, I delight in the law of God. Romans 7:24, you know, and it goes on saying, I delight in the law of God, I love the law of God, but man, I'll tell you, I don't always do it right. I make my mistakes. I commit my sins, omission and commission. And he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And because I don't keep the law perfectly, but I have it in my heart, in my mind, and I make it my way of life, how am I going to live? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives us grace, He gives us mercy, He gives us forgiveness. That's how we become a part of His kingdom. So, to conclude with Paul's epistles, again, you know, it's almost as if you feel embarrassed even saying it, if you understand and know the truth. But you have known so many people that have taken the law and gone back on it. Like I said, the dog turned to its vomit. That we have to be warned and we have to be aware and say, how could anybody not see this? And I conclude with what we began with, 2 Peter 3:16, the Revised Standard Version. Speaking of Paul's writings, is that speaking of this, as he does in all his letters, there are some things in them hard to understand. It's the ignorant, the unstable, twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. And then here's Peter warning the body of Christ, the church of God. And it's written there for you and me today. And he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, people will try to deceive you with Paul's writings. Beware lest you be carried away with the error of lawless men and lose your own stability. Don't let anybody at all convince you that Paul was trying to do away with God's word. He's giving that perfect balance of law and grace. He gives it to all of us, and through that we shall attain salvation. Okay? That's it. Now you know everything.